Hello, everybody. Here we go for another podcast. This is Cal Banyan. I'm with CalBanyan.com, the place to go to get news, information, and free hypnosis training. Well, as you know, I've been putting out there and saying, hey, if you got any questions, send them in to me, because I'm really enjoying taking the time to, answer questions and learn what you guys are really wondering about. And so I just got a message in yesterday from one of my favorite grads, Celeste, over there in Texas. And she's asked me a really sophisticated, advanced question. And so I'm going to read it to you. Actually, it's a series of questions in an email. And, just the way she's asking the question shows me that she really knows what's going on. All right. It says, to start off with, and I'll be reading it from my computer monitor right there. By the way, anything that I reference in this video can be found right under the video on calbanyan.com. Because some people are viewing this on Blip TV, others on Google, others on YouTube, those kinds of places. So I just want to make sure you know where you can get to the links that I've set up for you. All right, here we go, Celeste. Dear Cal, I am listening to the CD, What the Pros Know, Volume 14, Part 2, from the Banyan Online Supervision Series. And on it, you get into working with multiple ISEs and emotions for a bit. I have one question I haven't seen asked or answered yet. So the Banyan Online Supervision, let me just say a little something here. The Banyan Online Supervision CDs is a series of CDs which are a recording of 40 online supervision meetings that I had with people who opted into the program, and I really get a chance to get into mostly intermediate and advanced, and sometimes very advanced topics. So, if you're a hypnotist or hypnotherapist that's got a good foundation in hypnosis, that's something that might be of interest to you to take your practice to the next level. The whole program assumes that you have some idea about 5-path, and I'll put a link below so that you can get to an article that gives you a good description of 5-path. Okay, on with Celeste's email. You say when you follow back the feeling brought up in the affect bridge that the first emotion in that first event is the one most associated with the problem, and to follow back to the ISE. Let me fill in here a little bit. So what she's talking about is you have this person, your client, in somnambulism. You then suggest to them that either the thought, the emotion, or the symptom come up as you count from 1 to 5. In the vast majority of cases, we will use the emotion, which is also called affect. And so the technique is called the affect bridge, where the person in somnambulism would be told something like, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. When I count from 1 to 5, the feeling or emotion that's most closely associated with this issue will come up as strong, as powerful as it's ever been. Okay. Well, yeah, Celeste and everybody. So because of that suggestion, then the feeling that comes up almost by definition is the feeling that's associated with the issue. And then we say, once the feeling is brought up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there it is, strong, powerful. It's a little bit more to it than I'm giving you because I can't teach how to do affect bridge age regression here in just one 20-30 minute video. But we bring the feeling up, and then we say, follow that feeling back to an earlier time or situation event that you felt that way. And then what we'll do is we'll go back. So that's what she's asking. She says, you say when you follow the feeling brought up in the affect bridge that the first emotion in the first event is the one most associated with the problem and to follow back to the ISE. So that's why that's true. Let me scroll down here a little bit. What if the client, here's where it gets interesting and sophisticated. What if your client goes to fear initially and then fear, through each of the SSEs, which are also known as subsequent sensitizing events, okay, then to another emotion, and try as you might, you cannot find the fear in the next event. So what she's saying is, so you bring up the feeling associated with the problem. We take them back to the first event in the regression, and we ask them the fabulous five questions. Okay, what's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is it familiar and new? Now, in that in that event, we ask them, what are you feeling? So let's with that prefaced, let me go on to read another part of her email. She says, I had a client that went to sadness, and as the event played through, the event there, okay, oh, I get what she's saying. If the client goes to fear initially, then fear, then fear, then another emotion, and try as you might, you cannot find fear in the next event. So she's saying, okay, you bring up the feeling, associate with the problem, you follow it back, you find out it's fear, you say follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way, and you start following it back through a series of events, going back to the ISE, initial sensitizing event. What if it's fear, 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 and then becomes something else, like sadness? She said, I had a client who went to sadness, and as the event played through, in the event there was no evidence of fear, even though fear is what started off. I said, now, at the count of three, the scene starts again, and no fear came up. Then I said, go to the place in the scene where you feel that fear. Sometimes doing this works, sometimes it doesn't. Let me just read on a little bit further, and then I'll comment on that. My questions are, is that okay to do? I'm pretty sure that you are the one that I learned this from, so I think it's okay. My other question is, what if they cannot find the fear even in this way? Do you go back and have them regress off the fear in the early event again? I've also done that with some luck. Okay. So again, she's got fear, 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 sadness. Goes through the event, no sadness. All right. This is where it gets good, ladies and gentlemen. What you need to do is you need to get a really good understanding between what your client is thinking and what they're feeling. The thinking is the cognitive aspect, and the feeling is the emotional affect. What your client is feeling is a direct result to what they are perceiving and then thinking about what they're perceiving. So here's the stream. It goes perception, thoughts about what they perceive, thinking, and then how they feel about what they're thinking, about what they're perceiving. So our clients are not very good. In fact, most of them are lousy at talking about their feelings. They're really bad at knowing what they're feeling. They're very bad at knowing how to express their feelings, to describe their feelings, and how to respond to their feelings in a satisfying way. That's really what my book, The Secret Language, is all about. And when I do advanced work with a therapist, and they're really starting to learn the more advanced stuff, like in the Week of Power program that I do, or when someone comes to work at our center, or if I'm doing supervision with someone who doesn't work at our center, one of the things I really stress is understanding this connection between what they're thinking and feeling. So how does that respond to this? Okay, I take someone back to the first event as we're going back in time. And I say to them, what are you thinking? And I listen to what they're thinking. And I say, what are you feeling? For example, if they're feeling fear, then they must be thinking that something bad is going to happen. They're in danger, or there's going to be some kind of, you know, negative result of the situation. So sometimes we will ask someone, what are you thinking? And they might say, oh, something bad's going to happen. Like, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get spanked. And depending on how well the client understands emotions, or how people were taught to talk about their emotions in their family life, they may be accurate or they may not be accurate. For example, someone might say, oh, boy, I'm going to get a spanking because of what I just did. One person, okay, that's obviously they're thinking something bad's going to happen. And I say, how does that make you feel? One person might say, I'm afraid. Another person might say, I'm sad. Now, what causes sadness? The true cause of sadness is always the perception of loss, you see. And if all they're concerned about in that event is that, you know, they're going to get hurt, that kind of thing, punished, then that is really fear, even though they say sadness. So that's one thing to keep in mind. We're always going to ask the fabulous five questions. That's what I teach. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is that feeling familiar or new? And when we ask those five questions, we really get most, if not all, the information we need out of a particular event uncovered in the age regression. So Celeste and everybody else, when they ask about, well, what do I do when it's fear, 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 and then sadness? Well, you haven't really given me enough data. I have to find out, what are you thinking when you have that fear? What are you thinking when you have the next fear? What are you thinking when you have the earlier fear? And what are you thinking when you have that thing that you report as sadness? Because they may be thinking the same thing, but giving it a different name. For example, in a family, it might be incorrect for a boy to admit that he's afraid. So instead he will say, I am sad. You see how that might work? In another family, someone might not be allowed to say, I'm angry. And instead of saying angry, they will say, I'm sad. So when you're doing affect bridge age regression, to really be good at it, you've got to understand that sadness comes from loss, fear comes from the perception that something bad's going to happen, anger comes from the perception that whatever just happened is unfair, and guilt, for example, means that they perceive that they have done something unfair to someone else. And you need to get that straight if you're going to really be in that top 1% of people who do age regression work. So, again, I'll just reread part of it. I had a client that went to sadness, and as the event played out, through the event, there was no evidence of fear. I said, now at the count of three, the scene starts again. And still, there's no fear. So what Celeste did, she says, I'm going to run through this event again and see if I can find the fear. Because why? She was following the affect of fear back to that event. Okay. Then she said, go to the place in the scene where you feel fear. Okay. That is not really good form, because you're technically leading the client, and a small percentage of clients would actually confabulate, I mean, to fill in an event that is fearful when fear wasn't there, or that thing that they confabulate never happened. So we want to stay away from saying go to a particular place where you'll feel the fear. What I will do is I will do what you said. I'll say, well, count from three back to one, go back to the beginning of this situation. 3, 2, 1, and then when we're at one, let it play out again. And I'll be asking, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And see if I can find a moment in that event where they're thinking, you know, something bad's going to happen, because that's fear. And then what you can do, and I don't think I've ever talked about this before, but you can do a dual affect cognitive the same time regression. What you do is you say, focus on that thought. For example, they might be thinking, I'm going to get punished. I said, focus on that feeling. I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get punished. Now follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. So now what I've done is I've had them focus on the thought. And focusing on the thought will evoke the emotion associated with that thought. And then I can affect bridge off of that into the new event. So she asked, was that okay to do? And I talked about that technically that would be leading the client. She says, I'm pretty sure that you're the one that I learned this from, so is it okay? If I said something like that in the past, I was mistaken, because literally that would be a leading of the client. My other question is, what if they cannot find the fear even in this way? Do you go back and have them regress off the fear in an earlier event again? I've done this. It's also worked. Some luck. Okay. So she's asking, okay, even if you run them through again, or you say, go to that time in that event where you feel fearful, which I recommend you don't do. And then I recommend you do what I said, that is, look for the cognition. What are they thinking? And when they're thinking, something bad's going to happen, then you can affect bridge off of that, because that's fear, whether they're smart enough to articulate that or not. The other thing you can do is kind of what, Celeste, what you're saying there, and that is take them back to the previous event that you're at before you visited this event, and just be more clear. And get them into the place where they're feeling the most fear. This is what you do. You say a moment of count from 1 to 3, and you're going to go back to that prior event that we just visited, and it's going to be the most intense emotional moment. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. And now we're moving them forward in time to the event we were at before we regressed them back to the time where we couldn't find the fear. We want to be in the most emotional time. And then ask them, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And get them to say, you know, gosh, something bad's going to happen. I'm afraid. Good. Focus on that feeling. Where is it in your body? It helps if you can have them locate where it is in their body, like their chest, their gut, their hands, in their head, wherever it is. You say, good. Now, I'm going to count from 3 back to 1. I want you to go back to the time when you feel this way. And reiterate what they said. They said, I'm afraid. You say, go back to an earlier time when you were feeling fear, just like this. So just be more explicit about it. Sometimes they just don't understand. Or sometimes the protective part of them is trying to take a side road and take you off on a joy ride. So that's what I recommend you do. Let me go farther down in this email. She writes, another client I had who couldn't find the feeling, fear, we are following back, went to a scene where she was bringing a box of kittens home. She was 5 and a friend gave them to her. She said she was sad she had to give them back. After trying the methods I mentioned above with no luck, I had her slow down the scene from the beginning, and I asked her at every turn, what does that make you think and what does that make you feel? Finally, she said she was just for a second afraid that her dad would be mad that she had these kittens. Okay, see, that's right on. See, there you are, Celeste. You do exactly what the master of master hypnotists do. You slow it down, because sometimes they'll want to skip through it. Be careful that they're not just in a state of hypermanesia, but they understand the suggestion is that they're supposed to relive it again and then go through it in real time. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And so on. And like I said, look for the feeling that is congruent with the bridges you've been following back. So very good, Celeste. That's really great. Then she goes on to write, I wonder, though, that since she didn't seem to make the connection, if it was even the same fear. Anyway, we end up following that back. What would you have done? Well, I believe Celeste is saying, we found fear in the earlier event, but is it the same fear? Now, again, how do we know? Check the cognitive. What is she thinking? Is she thinking the same things or similar things? Does it carry the same theme as the other events? Okay. If it does, then you're right on, and you can just keep going back to the ISC. If it's out in left field somewhere, then you've uncovered a fear, but it's not related. She goes on to write, in situations like this, when I cannot find the same emotion all the way back, I just work with whatever emotions and scenes are revealed, and that has often gotten fair results. Okay, let me scroll down a little bit more. Along these same lines, I've heard that if you are following anger, guilt, or sadness back, they can turn to fear because everything is really fear. For instance, guilt is fear that I've been unfair. Sadness is fear that I'll have to be without what I've lost. And your thoughts on this? Sorry about the multiple questions, Celeste. Okay, so what she's saying is, okay, if you get a whole bunch of emotions on the way back, sometimes there are more than one emotion driving the situation. If I'm working with a fear or phobia of snakes, then I'm going to disregard any emotions that come up, such as sadness, loneliness, because they're just not relevant to what I'm working on. But if I'm working with what I call in the book, The Secret Language of Feelings, the too much behaviors, eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, then guess what? There could be a whole bunch of emotions associated with the problem. For example, you take the person who smokes too much or eats too much or drinks too much. What do? When they get real angry? They might go outside for a snack or a cigarette or something like that. What does the drinker, the one who abuses alcohol, do when he or she gets angry or sad or lonely? They drink. And so what we will do is we're going back, and we want to, the amount of time we have in a session is limited, and we want to have the best results we can from any particular session. So what we want to do is we want to stick with the most salient, the biggest, the most powerful, the most obviously connected to the problem emotions that arise. Just because, by getting rid of those emotions, we're going to get the most effect for our client. In my book, The Secret Language of Feelings, I don't have it right here, but I talk about what's really going on is that people feel bad. And when they feel bad, they've been told that they shouldn't feel bad, that they should, pretend that they feel better. They should push those feelings down. Or maybe they've even been punished in the past or been told that it's immoral to become angry or whatever. And so they deny their feelings. And the way they do that, the operant behavior that they do is when they feel bad, they will put their conscious mind and body into doing some behavior that will take their attention away from the hurt inside. So they feel sad, go have a cigarette. Feel lonely, go have a drink. Get angry, go shopping. Everyone knows when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping, as they say. So there's this feel bad and then do a distractor component. And these emotions that are inside, if you're seeing a client for one of these bad habits, addictions or compulsions or obsessions, these kinds of things, then what you need to do is you need to neutralize the most amount of emotion that is painful inside of them, because that's going to give them the most relief from the drive to distract. Okay. Boy, that is some advanced information there. And that's the kind of information that I go through in the Banyan Online Supervision CDs and also in the Week of Power training courses and in the last 6 or 7 days of our NGH certification courses. So if you're interested to know more about those, give me an email at calbanyan.com, C-A-L-B-A-N-Y-A-N, at hypnosiscenter.com. Okay, that's it. Please keep sending in your questions. Celeste, thank you for that one. And I hope that helps out in the Banyan Online Supervision CDs. I suggest you look at some more of those CDs about working with multiple ISEs and that kind of thing. And you'll find there's even more information there. All right, that's it. Whew, I'm glad I got through that one. That was a pretty challenging question. Well, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.